Marco. Today I'm hanging with Fing, F-I-N-G, Yarden, Southeast Coast, New South Wales, Australia, and is just an all-around waterman who had unusual experiences of going to Africa when he was younger and bodyboarding through the Zambezi River. So today he talks about his experiences there, riots, class 6 rapids, crocodiles, giant animals, deadly bus drivers, shark breeding zones, delivering babies, and the wedding of the Zulu King. I hope you enjoy hanging with me in Marco's hammock today as we talk with Fing Yarden. Thanks for listening. Thanks a lot for talking and hanging out with me on my hammock today.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable?
Because I'm
very comfortable.
Kicking back in my garage here. I wish I was in my hammock, but I don't think the reception is quite as clear.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, at least the washing machine's off, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So how'd you get started? I mean, for me, it seems like every Australian lives by the coast and at least tries surfing. So how'd you get into surfing, first of all?
Well, I was pretty lucky enough that my dad grew up by the water, and you know, he got me into it from a young age. Now, I think I was around roughly about 5 years old when he pushed me on my first wave on a board. So I started pretty young. And
right.
I sort of went from there. Like, I know my dad, he was, you know, tied up with the surf club. So, you know, which is Surf Life Saving here in Australia. For those that don't know, it's where they do beach patrols and set up a safe area for people to go swimming and surfing.
When you're 5 years old, you would start a... I know just from pictures and things I've seen that it's a pretty big competition there. And, you know, the guys wear funny hats. I don't know. They look like water polo hats.
Yeah.
And Speedos.
Yep. Got the Speedos on. Yep. It's not really a great look as far as I'm concerned, but yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's efficient. And they set up like, you know, beach patrols, make sure, you know, it's safe for swimmers.
And you guys have a special name for Speedos. I understand.
Yeah, budgie smuggler.
Budgie smuggler.
Yeah.
What is a budgie? What's a budgie?
Budgie is pretty much a small parrot we have here in Australia. As you imagine, it's an unusual look.
So anybody in Australia would not say Speedos. They actually call them budgie smugglers.
Oh, well, they might call them Speedos, but everyone knows what budgie smugglers are.
Even the Prime Minister would have a pair of budgie smugglers.
I'd say he probably would. I know the ex Prime Minister used to be in the surf club, so he definitely had a pair of budgie smugglers.
There we go. Okay, so the whole surf thing and the surf club culture. Even though I'm joking around, all those guys that were joking around about, they probably would have the Prime Minister and all that. It's such a prevalent thing in Australia that most kids would have gone through it at some point in their life, huh?
Yeah, it's something like if you grew up by the, you know, the ocean, you know, you definitely knew what the Surf Life Saving movement was about. And even though you might not have got into it yourself, you know, you knew it was there and it was a place to go swimming safely.
Man, I can tell you, like, when I just the word Australia when I was a kid was, out of all the countries in the world, I think you guys have the best name for a country as far as it instantly putting like some seed of adventure in your mind when you just say the word Australia. I've never met anyone that hasn't wanted to go there. I mean, literally everybody has it on their bucket list. Like, I'm going to go to Australia someday. What about surfing? Is that a pretty popular, like, so you started at 5 and then you got into surfing. Is that kind of is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much is very popular here, the surfing, you know, riding all different types of surf craft. Yeah, as I say, I started probably much on a board. I think it was actually a knee board that I started surfing on. And then pretty much as I was growing up, in my teen years, I was in the surf club. And then I think I realized I wanted to be more in the ocean, catching waves rather than be on the beach. So I pretty much got into the surfing culture a bit more then. So, you know, I think I was around 12, 13 when I got my first, you know, custom board. One of the local shapers here, Mike Davis, he was well known for shaping boards. I think he was American originally, and he is shaping boards.
American, I mean, that seems like that'd be pretty obvious, man.
Yeah, he was American.
I mean,
living in Australia.
You know, yeah, Australia. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of a word we could both say that would definitely give away the accent, but I'm sure we'll come across that as we talk away here. Okay, so getting back to how we started, I met you in a river, and your skills in a river are expert level. So there's no Colorado rivers around where you live. You know, it's like, what the hell? How do you become this Aussie surfer, and then suddenly you're this.
Well, with the rivers, I pretty much was fortunate enough to be hanging around a couple of guys here locally that one of the guys used to live in New Zealand, and he got to know a guy by the name of John Emhoff, who started up river surfing in Queenstown.
Oh, okay. Sounds
So
familiar.
through the, yeah, funny enough. And John was on a trip over here in Australia at the time, and through this buddy of mine, I got to meet John, and he was looking at guides because he was looking at starting up a venture in Africa. So he'd had an operation there in Queenstown, New Zealand, and he was looking for guides, and I had a bit of background in coaching in the ocean, surfing and bodyboarding. So through this connection, I met John, and he invited us to come over to New Zealand and try out, spend a bit of time on the rapids there in New Zealand, and from there, it pretty much.
But when you guys say you're river surfing, you're not on stand-up surfboards.
No, you can ride a normal surfboard in the rivers, but we found that riding a bodyboard's probably the best craft for what we do, because bombing down through the rapids, a bit like a big rip, and a hard surfboard can be easily damaged, and no, it's easy to be injured on. So found that the bodyboard pretty much sets you up to be in the water a lot better. You got, flippers on, life jacket, helmet, and you can pretty much control the board
You
a
would
lot easier
totally
with the flow.
destroy a surf down one run, wouldn't you? I mean, just one run, it would just be it'd be trashed,
Yeah, well, not so much that, because you've got all the rocks on the side. It's, boards are fiberglass, they damage pretty easy. And
Yeah,
the
that's what I
thing is,
mean.
too,
That's definitely a board you want to borrow if you're going to do that.
And on the rivers, you get these stationary waves that you can ride, which is, an awesome experience. So, you're sort of bombing down through the rapid and you come across a standing wave, you can turn around, paddle upstream to slow yourself down and pick up the stationary wave, and you can ride on it like an ocean wave.
So how'd you get into
No, so.
bodyboarding? Because bodyboarding here is, I mean, in Hawaii, it's its own established sport and stuff. And there's a few guys, I'm in Florida, and I could tell you, like, the times I actually see a bodyboarder with fins is super rare, like maybe once or twice a year. I know they're around somewhere, but I just never see them. It's just not the thing here. It's more like a, if you say you're bodyboarding, people don't even know that. They're like, so you have to translate it to, oh, boogie board. It's like this kitty, the kitty. Oh, you do the kitty thing. That's so cute. It's like, no. Because I mean, a bodyboard in a river is definitely something can go drastically wrong there. That's not the boogie board kiddie pool. So
No,
how'd you get into body? What
I
happened?
pretty much got into the bodyboarding side of things as, when I was about 13, I was surfing one of the local breaks nearby, and I was going for a maneuver, what's called a floater, where you're riding along the top of the lip of the wave, and happened to have my board turn over and embed in my leg. I got washed up on the shore with, a surfboard fin in my leg, attached to the board.
Wait, not
So
just the fin, the whole
the whole
board was
board,
sticking out of your leg.
pretty much the fin was embedded in my leg, and the board was obviously attached to the fin. So I had the board, stuck in my leg, and I've
Oh
had a,
man.
so it was a little bit close to comfort, to the nether regions, but it was. Not too pleasant, and luckily my dad was with us at the time, and another surfer, and him sort of helped us out of the water. And at this stage, it was a bit of a walk up a hill to the vehicle, so they've had to carry us up to the car and take us off to hospital to get
See,
stitched up.
here's the difference right here between Australia and American. So you guys are so understated, oh, it's a little bit too close for comfort. My dad had to take care. We'd be saying, it almost cut my balls off, man. You guys are so, well, it came close to the nether regions. You had a fin embedded in your thigh.
Yeah, in my thigh, the upper part of my leg, and pretty much 44 stitches later, there we have it. Yeah, so 22 inside, 22 outside stitches I end up with. So that sort of put me out of the water for a little bit. And I happen to be up the north coast there with the family around
Well,
Christmas time.
let's talk a little bit more about that. I mean, you almost took out the nether regions, but I mean, you've heard of the guys where it's gone up their butt before, huh?
Yeah, I believe.
Tins have gone up people's asses before.
Yeah, I know Tom Carroll, one of the Aussie surfers, a couple of world titles, has had one up his butt and done a bit of damage. So, yeah, I know it does happen.
That's good. That's got to look fun. That's got to look bizarre when you come out of the surf and there's a surfboard literally hanging out of your ass.
Yeah.
Be cool to kind of act like it was normal. I don't. That'd be impossible to do. But hey, Tom, man, there's. Oh yeah, how'd that get in there? So
So I've
moving
ended
on.
up, yeah, moving on. I've ended up the North Coast on Christmas holidays with the family, and rehab, getting back in the water. I end up, borrowing. There's a couple of friends of the family that had bodyboards, and I've jumped on a bodyboard and started kicking about, catching waves, and pretty much got in it from there. Like previously, I've got a younger sister. She had one, and we used to take it out, one of the local reef breaks from time to time when it got big, just for a bit of fun. But I hadn't really got too seriously into
Yeah,
it. So
the kiddie boogie board thing.
yeah,
Yeah.
and like back in
You got
the
serious on it. You got really serious in the rivers or they're on the south coast there.
pretty much started getting seriously into it on the south coast here, in the way that there was a few local comps. See, back in the 80s, early 90s, bodyboarding was pretty much in its boom. It was the fastest growing sport in the world, so it was really taking off. So it wasn't probably, guys like Mike Stewart were.
Did any competitions or anything?
Yeah, I've done a few local comps and different things, and
Yeah.
went to a couple of international ones, but no, I never done anything too major, just having fun hanging out with the crew.
Yeah, too
But I
major
end
until
up,
you go to Africa. What river did you go to there?
well, we end up on the Zambezi, which is, I don't know if into surfing at all, the Zambezi is regarded a bit like the Hawaii of whitewater. It's, big water, class five rapids, which in grading rapids, they go for the British Canoe Union. So that's graded 1 to 6, 5 being the biggest you can run commercially, 6 being pretty much unrunnable commercially, good chance of
One,
dying.
so a
Yeah.
one would be an air mattress with a beer on it.
Yeah, pretty much. You get the idea.
Or
So, yeah, you'd just be floating
yeah.
down, having a good old
I
time.
think I'm
But
more of a one. I think I'm more of a one guy.
I think you had some good times there on the Colorado with us on some bigger
Yeah, it
rapids,
was good
I
for
believe.
sure. Yeah. I just kind
Yeah.
of like now that we're talking about it, I kind of like the whole idea of one of those like, just inflatable things and with a beer on
Yep.
it.
Kick
But
back.
Zambezi's, I see it in like flashing red, yellow, bright colors. Zambezi. It sounds so foreign to me. And but again, it's got that draw. Like what is that? So what
Yeah, for
happened
me,
there?
I suppose, looking back on it now, it was a bit surreal. Like I wasn't planning on going to Africa anytime soon, and the opportunity arose. And next thing I know, I'm on a plane with a good mate on the way to New Zealand in Queenstown there, and we're training up on the Karawar River in Queenstown, getting used to rivers, which, coming from the ocean's a big thing. It's a totally different ball game, and even though
Yeah,
you're used to
were you
being in
guys getting
water.
paid? Were you getting paid for this, or was this
Yeah, we
voluntary?
did. Originally, we were just training up as guides, and then once we became proficient in that, we started becoming paid guides, which was great. We were getting paid to take backpackers and tourists down the river there in Queenstown, so it was a pretty good life. We'd pretty much do a couple of trips in a day.
You didn't surf at all at that time, that you were just in the rivers in Queenstown.
I did do a trip. A couple of trips up the coast. I've done one up the west coast. There was a whitewater festival up at Buller, which is the northern part of the South Island. So done a surf trip with a couple of buddies up there, surfing along the way, and then they went to the whitewater festival up there, which was fun. I was pretty much the only guy on a bodyboard competing against all these kayakers. And yeah, that was a bit of fun competition.
Did you win?
Well, I actually made the final and ended up with a case of beer. So yeah, I'd done all right out of it, considering. No, I was.
You
I didn't
know,
win.
you pissed off a lot.
actors,
Yeah.
man. That
I didn't mean
reminds me
to.
of these people showing up and just doing all their fancy tricks and, that kind of thing when they're skateboarding, pissing off everybody. So here's Thing Yarden shows up. He's got his bodyboard and everyone else is kayaking and you won beer.
No, I was all right in the ocean, but I moved over to the rivers, and I was starting to mix it up in the rivers, having some fun. And I think too, like going up to that Buller Fest, you're meeting a lot of people like-minded, and you're learning a lot. When you're mixing with some of these kayakers and rafters, you're pretty much like a sponge. You're trying to absorb all their thoughts and knowledge so that you can use it yourself. So it's quite a good thing that way as well.
Yeah, I can see that translating to surfing too, though. I mean, anything in the water you can correlate to what you're doing. I'm sure your surfing helped you with the bodyboarding
Oh,
and the
definitely. Like,
and if you ever got in a kayak or, I mean, I noticed that when you were in the 20-foot rafts or whatever in the canyon. I mean, basically you had the knowledge just not only just from the rivers but also from surfing that helps you with that. But hey,
I
I want to
think.
get to the Zambezi. Like I say, that word just flashes. Like what? So when you first heard of that, when had you heard of it before this trip, or did suddenly John just say, "Oh,
No, it's something John
Zambezi"?
just brought up, and I thought Africa's this wild, outrageous place on the other side of the world, which it pretty much was to us, living in Australia, in an island in the middle of the Pacific there, away from everything. So, you conjure up all these thoughts of, wild places with these animals and different things. So, a bit like Jurassic Park. So, it was quite a mixed emotion thing, and yeah, it'd be cool to go visit this place and work over there, but what we in store for. So, as I say, I end up in New Zealand, trained up there, and then next thing I know, I come back home for a month or two just to get my stuff together, and then I was off over to Africa. So, pretty much getting to Africa, I flew from Sydney here in Australia over to Harare, which is a pretty much the capital of Zimbabwe there. And I don't know if anyone knows, most people should know that, back then in the day, in the 90s, Mugabe was in control of Zimbabwe, and it was a pretty turbulent times. I've landed in Harare there, and there's riots going on. So, cars being burnt, people, throwing bricks through shop windows, you name it, it was going on. Yeah, I didn't see that flames flying in, but as I've got in the taxi to the hotel that I've been booked into for the night, I've seen all this going on, and I'm just thinking, wow, this is insane.
Wonder if the
So what was that?
taxi guy just took you by just for a little fun.
No, I think it was pretty much going on in the city. Like, I did find out about what was going on a bit later, but yeah, it was pretty full on. So I've spent the night in Harare there, and then flown out to Vic Falls the next morning, which is pretty much on the border of Zimbabwe and Zambia, where the Zambezi flows through. You've got Victoria Falls, and in local terms, it's known as Mosiantunya, the smoke that thunders. So when you're flying in, it's an awesome sight. You're coming in, you can see steam, from what looks like steam from the falls, the spray coming up from, a few mile away. So you can see it coming in, and it's a pretty impressive sight.
Yeah, especially after a night of no sleep from Australia and then a day in a riot, and then you're flying in and see smoke on the horizon. It's these massive, huge waterfalls. When you're flying, are you seeing elephants and stuff? I mean, how much of your original African vision?
There was like animals as you're flying. You might have seen like an elephant or a giraffe. I can't remember actually landing, but I know you can see, animals as you're coming into the airport to land from time to time if they're nearby. And so I've sort of flown in. Now I've rocked up and they've picked us up from the airport. So I'm a bit dusty and, not a lot of sleep, as you can imagine. And thinking, what next am I in for? So I've pretty much, grabbed my gear and we've thrown it in the vehicle. We've charged on down to the river. And I said, like, what do you reckon? We go play. And, I've pretty much thrown my board shorts on. Now, I didn't have a life jacket at this stage. I just had board shorts that I was wearing and had my board and gear. And I've jumped in the river with them. So we've jumped in the river below rapid number five, which is grade five rapid. And it's the biggest single rapid commercially run in the
What's your
world. And
first
I'm
thing? So straight off the plane after a riot, after 30-something hour flight, a little bit of African food, welcome to Africa, a little bit of riding. And so you jump straight into a class 5 rapid, no helmet, no life vest, just a body board and your fins.
Yep. I'm just thinking, wow, this is huge. So at this stage, the time of year that I got there, the water, you know, the river level was quite high, so I was in high water. So throughout the year, the water, you know, rises up to a certain level and then it'll drop back down, you know, and all the rapids change throughout the year depending on the water level. So I've gotten there pretty high water. So you know, we've jumped in, we've been cruising along down the river and having a good time. I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot bigger water than I was used to in New Zealand. But I felt comfortable because I was with, you know, friends and, you know, knew that they knew what they were doing. And now I was sort of cruising along.
At least you had massive amounts of hope knowing that they...
So we've found a standing wave and we've had a bit of a play on that for a while. And then we're cruising down river a little bit further. And John, you know, in his sadistic ways, just looked at me and looked at Nige and said, whatever you do, just follow me. And I'm going, oh, okay then. What am I in for? So, you know, we started cruising along, and as we're getting close, you could hear this rumble, you know, distance of this, you know, next rapid. So, next,
and what,
thing I know,
what does it look like? So, from coming after, what, first of all, like just from a certain, like what was the surf wave like? Is it pretty big? Does it barrel?
The way beforehand was surfing, it was just like a little wave. It was probably maybe 2-3 feet, and you know, it wasn't anything special, but it did have a bit of a lip that barreled. But it was more of a just a fun little face you could just do, you know, turns on.
And then you turn around and you hear this monster downs, class 6 downstream.
That's
it. What does it look like when you're coming, a bodyboard coming into a class 6?
Well,
because you're not knowing what the hell is going to happen.
The noise gets you in and then you see the horizon disappear, like, you know, over the river. So, you know, it gets you going. And to put it in context, it's known as Rapid Number 9 on the river. It's called Commercial Suicide. It's Grade 6, so being it's the biggest known grading. And
yeah, so here you go. From Australia, Riot, Class 5, a little bit of surf, a little bit of relaxing, and then through Commercial Suicide.
Yep. And best way to describe it is looking at Waimea Shorebreak stationary. So looking at a stationary version of Waimea Shorey and then bombing through the rest of the wave train, then having a massive big pile of whitewash below it, known as a hole, and then punching through that. So, yeah, it was a good wake-up call, one might say.
No, there's the old Aussie understatement. That was a good wake-up call. Here's the American version. It was fucking insane, man. Oh, my God. There. It translated for you. And then what's downriver? What do you come to eventually?
Well, we got out just downriver. There was a because we're getting out on the Zimbabwe side. We floated down through another, you know, couple of smaller rapids, and then the water. What you're dealing with, the nasties in the river. You got these big tiger fish, which have got, I know they got these massive big teeth. So, you know, you don't really want to be getting bitten by them. And then you got even bigger stuff like crocodiles, which is even more fun.
Oh, God.
So
I got to rewind here. Class 5, you jump in, class 5, tiger fish with teeth that'll rip your netherlands out. And then you do a little fun surf, and then you go down through Commercial Suicide, bomb it through a Waimea shore break size, massive, huge, deadly wave, and then down through the rapids. And then you come out to a nice, calm place where there's crocodiles.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. What the hell are you thinking? Have you lost your mind? Oh, my God. What do you do with a crocodile?
Okay, I'll tell you that this is one that I probably shouldn't tell you this because I was illegally in Zambia at the time. This was back in 1998, and the river level had come up quite high, and you know, it become, you know, flooded the river, so we couldn't run commercial trips down there. And through a few connections, I'd managed to score a job down in South Africa to manage some backpackers down there. And pretty much I was on the Zambian side of the border illegally, and I had to get across the border to Zimbabwe to get a bus, you know, down to South Africa. So to get across the border, now and again, we used to, sneak across in, one of the trucks from the business I worked for. We, could sneak in that way, or we'd, just go down a raft and jump across, or we'd just, paddle down in our boards. Because the river was, I was pretty much in Zambia, and the only way I could really think of getting across was going across down the river on my board. So the predicament was the river was quite high. It was like, one of the highest levels it gets. So, walk down the gorge and, the water's just amazing, like at that level, just huge. And the section you jump in there is called the boiling pot, for good reason. They got a lot of turbulent water, and rivers generally a dangerous thing anyway. If you don't know what you're doing, you've got a lot of boils and whirlpools and different features that can, grab you and drag you under and keep you down. So I've pretty much, got in the river there, pretty much at the tree line, which was, pretty dicey as it was, and gone down river. Now, I had two choices. I could either continue downstream from the first takeout, where there was Rapid Number 5, which I mentioned before, which is the biggest single drop commercially in the world. It's about 45 feet from top to bottom. And I thought, this is a pretty decent rapid. And being in flood, who knows what it's going to be like. So I thought,
And can you get out and actually check it out? Can you go and look and
no,
say like,
I couldn't really go check it out. I probably
yeah.
could have maybe gone down and checked, but it was a bit of, working out. So I decided to, hedge my bets and go for the first takeout spot on the Zimbabwe side, just above Rapid Number 4. Now, the thing with this takeout, it's a where the water river shears off, you get what's called a big eddy, like this big karma pool of water. But it's slower moving, but it does move back upstream slowly and feed into the main flow.
The river just forks right there, and one side's very fast, and the other side's kind of slow.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I've gone down the main flow, which is the faster flowing, and then as I've pulled into the slower side where you can get out in the eddy. Now, in that eddy, there happened to be a 4 meter crocodile.
Okay,
So,
4 meter is 4 times 3, 12 foot crocodile sitting in the, there's this crocodile in the eddy.
yeah, I think it was a little bit bigger. I think it was more like 16 foot, this one. But it was decent size. Now, we knew it. I knew it to know that it was below the rapid there, at certain river levels, but I knew that it was up on this eddy line, because when I peeled off to get into this eddy, it was up there on the bank where I had to get out. The water's moving slowly, and the only way to get back in the main flow is to go all the way, past this crocodile to back up to the top of the eddy to go back into the main flow again if I was choosing to do so. So I thought, what the heck? I've just put my head down and gone straight at the beach where this crocodile was, and went straight. The croc was pretty much sunning itself on this little rock. The takeout was this rocky beach, and then there was a ladder that takes you up the first steep part, and then you got, these steps carved into the bank, and you've got timber rungs, going out that the locals have made for the track out. So I've sort of, gone towards the beach, and I did have a knife on me. It was like maybe a 3-inch little river knife, but that was in my pocket, and I thought, that's not really much use to me. So I've pretty much just put my head down and just gone straight at it. Now, as I've got closer, I've just yelled at it and gone, ah, the top of my voice. And it's been startled. And I've felt as it's gone into the water, because crocs, they generally feel safer in the water as it is. So it's swung around and gone into the water. And the next thing I know, I could feel the water off its back. I didn't feel its skin or anything, but I felt the water off its back. And I've just hit
That
the
gives me
beach.
chicken skin on my neck here right now. So the croc came off the bank and went underwater. When you screamed at it, what were you expecting it to do? Just get out of the
I
way?
didn't
I mean,
know.
what?
I was hoping so. I just natural instinct. I've got no idea what I was doing. I was just going for that
You just
beach, and
went
that's what I was
cave.
doing.
You went full caveman.
I went full
You went
caveman.
full caveman. Jesus,
So I've
that's
just gone
crazy.
straight at the beach, and next thing I know, it swung around, gone into the water. I felt it sort of, take off underneath me, and I've hit that beach, and I've been stumbling up that ladder like you would not believe. So the board's, getting caught. I had a leash on my board, like an arm leash. So I've been getting, trying to climb up this ladder with flippers on, no fins. So I'm trying to, I've managed to get up the ladder, and then I've started running out of the gorge with my fins still on.
I'm picturing you still screaming, like yelling and screaming.
I probably was. I've got halfway up and just stopped and started shaking. Like I was just like on full on, just my nervous system kicked in. I was just like shaking to bits, and I was just like a mess. And then I've sort of got my thoughts together and then managed to, you know, walk out of the gorge, and I've walked into town, into Victoria Falls, and I've rocked up in town. And, you know, a few of the locals looked at me going, man, you look like you've seen a ghost. And yeah, I was quite pale apparently.
What an experience that I hope I never have. No, thank you. Yeah. So I think if you could rewind, you would have definitely gone the rapids, huh?
Probably. I think the rapids might have been a safer bet, or probably hiding myself in a truck might have even been safer still.
It always seems such a great idea.
Yeah,
at the time. But
yeah.
So you ended up in Africa for a while then. Yeah, you said you got jobs, you got other job work there, and
yeah, I went managed to South get Africa a job for
surf,
3 months. Yeah, so I've ended up managing this backpackers down in a place called Ashawi, which is about 2 hours north of Durban. So it was a little bit inland, but yeah, I scored this job managing a backpackers there. It was pretty big. The guy that owned the hotel there where the backpackers was, he used to be the mayor of the place, so you knew quite a lot of people. And through this, I, you know, got to meet quite a lot of locals and had a good time down there.
Actually, that would be a sweet job when you're.
And long story short, had such a good time. You know, I was pretty much promoting the backpackers, so I was working, but I was only playing on the one night out. But pretty much had a good time down there in South
so
Africa, down in Durban.
One week, your week of promoting turned into a week. Now your one night, your one day. Your one day as a promotional agent turned into a week of party.
Yeah, pretty much. And
as long as you wore the shirt, you were technically, you know, quotation marks, working.
Well, I did manage to time it at the right time when we had a 7 meter swell hit Durban. So I was quite fortunate to.
Okay, again, 7 meters. That's 20 something feet. That's a big one.
Yeah, they shut the harbour. The ships were losing containers over the side, so a lot of locals were pretty happy because all these containers were washing up with merchandise all over the beaches. So you can imagine
free
it was
stuff,
a free for all. Yeah, like sneakers and all different things.
Good time to be in Durban, huh?
Yeah, well, Durban was firing. I remember I ended up hiring a board when I was there, and I just hired a bodyboard, and the surf was pumping. Like, you know, got New Pier there and different places, you know, it was firing. So I remember they had the pier cordoned off because the swell was quite big, you know, as you can imagine. And I remember climbing, you know, going out underneath the barricade and going out and jumping off the pier and trying to surf these massive waves. And
aren't the cops coming to aren't they preventing you from going out surfing?
Well,
or did you
funny
just
you say that? The cops were patrolling the beachfront there, and because you got the seawall there, you know, when I was surfing at one stage, yeah, the waves were so big. One of the waves come up over the seawall and push one of the police cars into the shop window. I was out there by myself, and where I was surfing, it looked like there was an outer bank or reef further out, and I was pretty much surfing the reef forms, which are probably, you know, a good 6 to 8 feet plus, maybe bigger. Yeah. I remember I was catching these long rights and towards a pier, and I'd flick off and paddle back out, and I must have misjudged it once, and next thing I know, I'm battling the pier. And, I was pretty lucky not to drown that day. I got pushed into the piers, and I remember, you know, pretty much wrapping my arms around one of the pylons and waiting for the water to abate, and then pushing off and going again and made my way to shore. But, yeah, it was pretty dicey.
See, there's the Aussie understatement thing again. You know, I had a little tough time there. You know, I had a little issue. It was pretty dicey. You know, we'd be going like, I can't believe I'm still alive. Holy crap! Shh. You know, you guys are. What's with you guys? What are you eating down there in Australia? I mean, really, was it the Vegemite?
Yeah, it
What
could
the
be.
heck? The meat pies.
Yep.
So that's pretty amazing. You know, there's sharks there too. I mean,
Yeah.
I've wanted to go to
Well,
South Africa forever, 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 but there's just this, it's
yeah.
like California, you know, they're just, when you say California, it's just like, even Australia, when you say those three words, it's like, don don, 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 don.
Well,
It's that
there's a
image
lot
which
of
there's
people
that.
getting taken back then. 98, there was quite a lot of shark attacks in South Africa too. So I know there was quite a bit going on.
Right. Well, you know, I
And
guess after you swam over a 16-foot crocodile and yelled at it and you know, basically outmanned it.
well, I was surfing one of the beaches north of Durban there, and I was with a bunch of backpackers I'd taken down on a trip. I used to do these tours from the hostel where I was working, and take them to different places doing tours, and went up taking them to this remote beach, and they're on the beach sunbathing and frolicking about, and I'd gone for a surf because I had a board with me, and next thing I know this ranger comes charging up along the beach and calls me in and going, hey, what's he on about? So I've gone in thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't be parking on the beach or need a permit or something like that. And I've gone in just to see what all the fuss was about. And he goes, oh, do you know you're out there surfing in a Zambezi shark breeding ground? I'm going, what? And he goes, no, Zambezi shark. And you go, oh, like pretty much
No,
for
really?
those
No,
that,
is that what they're called? It's called the Zambezi shark feeding area.
well, that's where their
Jeez.
mating area is. And there's pretty much a bull shark. The people that don't know what a Zambezi shark is, they're a
Oh,
bull
okay.
shark. And they live in salt water, but they do go up in the brackish water and can live in fresh water as well.
I'm thinking Zambezi translates to just don't go anywhere near the hell anywhere around there. That's what it translates
Yeah,
to.
so he's called us in, and I'm just thinking, what's going on? And yeah, it ended up being a breeding ground for these bull sharks and the Zambezi sharks. So yeah, so I was
So did
pretty
you go
lucky
back
there.
out?
Nah, I decided to, it was better sunbaking on the beach,
Yeah, frolicking.
frolicking. Yeah, and then I remember we sort of went down to another back hostel another night there, and because we used to go between hostels sometimes and just from cross promotion. And I was there with a buddy one time. We're heading to this other hostel one night for a bit of a party, and we'd sort of gone down there, and next thing we know, this is just early evening, and one of the hostel workers comes up and said, oh, one of our maids is going into labor. So we go, oh, what's going on? So we've gone to one of the sheds out the back there, and she's going into labor. So one of the buddies I was, he was trained up to be a
Was she
doctor.
at work? Was she actually being paid for this?
Yeah, she was a paid worker. So she was just living there, and we've gone out for a few drinks with local backpackers. And one of the buddies I was with, he was training up to be a doctor, and we'd sort of gone out there, and I thought, oh no, I'd done a little bit of nursing and worked around hospitals when I was younger. So I'd sort of gone with him, and next thing I know, we're delivering a baby. So it was at the time, we she luckily it was a pretty well straightforward birth. She'd had a couple of kids before, so she knew what the deal was, so it wasn't too much panic. But we're dealing with what we could at the time, boiling jugs to get hot water and getting towels and going
See, I
through the
wouldn't have a clue.
process.
I would have no clue what to do. I mean, I would just be
Yeah.
singing Kumbaya or something, you know, Kumbaya. I wouldn't have a clue
So,
what to do.
back at this stage, I had longer hair, so we're looking for things to tie off the umbilical cord. So I've grabbed my hair tie and sanitized it with some hot water, and we've tied off the umbilical cord and had a knife and pretty much cut the umbilical cord and put the
Used
oh,
your hair tie.
yeah, you do what you have to do.
So I wonder if she left that on there until the umbilical cord came off the hair tie on the baby.
Yep. Yeah, so you wait for the placenta to come out, and yeah, there's no eating of the placenta, but we kept the
Oh,
placenta
thank
anyway.
God.
And
Jeez.
yeah, but we pretty much
Souvenir. You guys kept
yeah,
that. Did you
souvenir.
keep it in a jar? You kept it as a souvenir, or she got
Nah,
it?
no, nah, nah, she got we just kept it because we she ended up going to hospital anyway, and she ended up having a healthy baby boy, which she named Tabani, which in Zulu means strong one. Yeah, so I spent, 3 months down there working and partying and having a good time and surfing when I
No,
could.
you weren't partying. You were promoting the
Promote. That's right. That's right. I've got to tell you about this story of getting back up to Zimbabwe and Zambia, though. So
Okay.
on the way, I ended up managing to get a flight out of Johannesburg back up, but I was down near Durban, so I had to get a ways up to Johannesburg to fly back up to Vic Falls. So one of the ways of doing it was what they call these black taxis. So the locals have these minivans that they sort of pack people into, and pretty much you get as many people in as you can just to get the fare up. And so I decided, the guy that I worked for managed to get us on one of these taxis to take us up to Johannesburg, and it was cheap as chips, so it was really cheap. And I've jumped on, aboard, and they've been packing us up. And what they do, they go around all the neighborhoods as they're going all the way up to the destination. So they're picking up more people on the way. So now I've jumped in. You're pretty much like a sardine as it is. But I've got to tell you about this driver. To get more people in, he hasn't got a steering wheel. So what he's got is a wrench on the steering column. So that.
Wait a minute. Wait. You got to slow down. He's to get more people in. How many more people are going to fit in if he takes the steering wheel off? Like really, how many more people jam in there without a steering
Yeah,
wheel, you know?
maybe one or two, but he had no steering wheel, had a wrench to steer the van. So I'm just thinking, oh, is this a good thing to start with? So anyway, we're on our journey, and like this guy, he wasn't scared when he was driving. He was, hauling along because he had a deadline. So, he was like moving along. We were going around through, all these, suburbs, shanty towns and that, picking up people on the way. And I think I was the only white guy on board, and I was pretty much like a sardine. And paint a picture, I'm about 6'2", so I'm not a small guy, but I was sort of like jammed in like a sardine. And we're cruising along and picking up people, and along the open road he's hauling ass, like he's not slowing down, he's moving along. And there's wildlife you're worrying about hitting, and he could have an ellie step out, from the side of the road, and they're not
An
going to
elephant.
move. And yeah
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so like he's moving along, and
Along with his wrench in his right hand.
yes, he's just cruising along, and I'm at the back, and being at the back of the bus too, like you're probably going to feel the movement a bit more as well, I must admit. He's doing 130 kilometers an hour plus, he's
That's about
moving,
70 miles an
yeah,
hour.
about 70 miles plus. And you're going around like some of these sweeping bends, and it feels like the van's going to tip over. So I've hollered out at the top of my voice to slow down. If he doesn't slow down, I'm going to come there and kill him. So I've pretty much, he slowed down. I think he got the point. And
Did you actually say those words?
yeah, I did. I pretty much said, if you don't slow down, I am going to come up there and kill you. I think you got the idea. So he slowed down somewhat, and I've managed to get to Johannesburg, but I tell you what, it was a trip for the ages, that one. Like, I've
Oh man,
never
I've
been
been,
more
you
scared
know,
in a
I've, I,
vehicle.
oh my God, I know exactly what you're thinking. Like I've been on, I can't even, years and years and years of bus travel, and the worst ones I've been on are in Mexico or Panama, believe it or not. I had the same thing in Panama. This guy, and he was just I didn't, for some reason I didn't yell out, but it was just horrible. I know the feeling. I did want to kill the guy. I swear, when I looked in the mirror and you could see his face, I could swear his eyes were glowing red like a demon. I mean, it was just like, holy crap, this guy. That you could feel the tires giving away going around
Yep.
on the when
Yeah.
he's it was pissing down rain and he didn't care at all. It was
No,
insane.
they
So
just.
yeah, that's, he sold the steering wheel.
Maybe. Maybe you did. I don't know the story of
He
why he didn't
sold
have a
it in Bob
steering wheel.
Gear.
Yeah, but it was
Yeah.
just, I've
Was
never
there
seen anything
Steve?
like it.
Was he actually even sitting or was he kneeling?
No, he was sitting on a crate.
On a crate. On a crate with a wrench steering and being threatened with his life by the Australian in the back. Just another day at work if you're in the
Yeah.
taxi. It's crazy. And
So
I
yeah.
bet the fare was probably like 25 cents.
Yeah. No, that's it.
But out of all the experiences, that sounds like the one that I would have taken the crocodile over this guy with the wrench.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Actually, there is more
I would have
story
gone.
to
You should have named that guy Zambezi, the
that.
Zambezi driver.
Yeah.
Crazy time. I really would love to go to Africa, after I've heard. I still remember this guy I met traveling in Australia talking about how great the points were down there. Like just amazing surf. So someday. Hey, let's
Yeah.
finish with a little bit about this recent swell in Australia you had.
Yeah,
It's
we
all
just had
over the
a.
news here. It was just this massive. Tell us what happened. I mean, I just saw the articles about it and it looked incredible. What happened?
Yeah, we just had an east coast low form off the coast down here, which pretty much a bit like a cyclone, to put in, easier terms, and that produces quite a lot of swell. We had the swell get up to around 6, 7 meters. So, I think on the buoys, offshore, they'll hit around, 11 to 13 meters. So, it got quite big,
Insane.
and yeah, it was awesome.
That's
We had,
not an every year thing, as famous as Australia is for surfing. That
no,
was
it's
how
not
often
a
would that
standard.
happen? Wave that big.
Well, the last time we did have some bigger waves in February, from a cyclone up north. But yeah, generally maybe once every couple of years. I know the bit last big swell, East Coast low, like we had like this one was in 2016, and
No.
it was huge. Like
So.
you know, it, I'd, you
Right.
know, one of
So
my
every
local
so
lows, the biggest we've
in
seen.
a 5 year period, you guys would have two or three like that.
Yeah, and that last one that we had in 2016, I'll call in that like once in a, 10 year swell, once in a lifetime swell type of thing. It was huge. Yeah, I can't remember what it got up to on the buoys, but it was big.
Where you live, I saw Sydney. I can imagine it doesn't get too crowded. I mean, people don't go out when it's that big. They're most of them are
Nah,
onshore.
when it gets
I
big,
would be.
it gets, there's not a lot of guys have the right equipment for that type of waves. And you
Yeah,
generally
but your
find a
jet
lot of people
ski.
finding novelty waves too. There's like little bays and harbors that tend to break. So you get people might be looking for those, but the genuine big wave spots, there's only a few guys out, which, it's good, so it doesn't get too crowded. And yeah, when it lights up, it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're the South Coast is again, that's another mystery spot down there. You're the mystery coast, the South Coast of New South Wales. It's got all these
Yeah, we go.
mysterious connotations to it. And
Yeah, we got a
another
lot of
thing,
good
I think
stuff.
about with what with, it's another place I think of, like Sharky. Like I know there's more shark problems in Victoria and North, but for some reason, just the South Coast, south of Sydney, does that. It has that reputation as like a sharky place, it's, even though the whole country is like that.
Yeah, well,
But you
no, we have had a few shark attacks in the area over the years. It's like all up the coast. Like you generally find when the whales are migrating, you get, some of the whales.
It just gives me a thought. Like you said, your dad was there and all that. So you're a long time people in that area. So you talk about the whales and all that. So when I always wonder about guys like Jeff Clark and et cetera, that, soul surf some of these places where it's pretty, I'm, the size of the thing, the swell and all that, I'm okay with, but the shark factor by yourself is something that I have a hard time with. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I did find that actually last swell, that East Coast swell we just had. I was surfing one of the local reef breaks here, and I paddled out, and pretty much sitting in the middle of the ocean, and it is in the back of your mind because just recently up the North Coast there'd been a few deaths from people being taken by sharks.
You'll go out by yourself in huge waves, even bodyboarding or body surfing, and use different, you'll use surfboard, bodyboard, body surfing, whatever, by yourself out there. And so you tend to you t you take it more from like what's been happening, or is it, you know what I mean? Like you say, well, there's been a few attacks around, so I'm gonna have my, my feelers out. But normally, what do you do?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, you just suppress it. You just put it in the back of your mind. And, you get, I find I get gut feelings where, if I'm feeling, if I'm out in the water and it doesn't feel right, I'll just go in. Like, I might only catch
Right.
two waves. And, If I'm not feeling it, that be whether it's, big waves, or whether it be, a sharky feeling, or whatever it be. I think maybe
That's a
it's
good,
just that
that's
sixth
really
sense.
good advice, actually. You just said the sixth sense, and isn't it wild how, like, sometimes I'll go way out on my paddleboard, and once you get to a person, you get to a certain, like, the beach, even if you take off just from past the beach, it's wilderness, like knee high. You're out there with stuff that you step on it, crabs, what, stingrays, little sharks. It's wilderness. Like, as soon as you step off the shoreline, it's there's stuff out there, but I noticed there's a distinct line where like you just said, the sixth sense. I've been on my paddleboard where I've gone way out there with the shrimp boats. Like, it's been so glassy here in Florida, like a lake sometimes, that you can paddle out there safely. There's nothing, there's no wind, or I mean, it could kick up and become dangerous, but I've been out way out there, and like you just mentioned, there's a kind of an area where it just kind of kicks in all of a sudden, you get a heightened awareness, even though you're not aware of it. It just kind of kicks in. It's like this evolutionary thing.
I've always believed too, if in doubt, pull out, if you're not feeling it, is a reason. Like, go on your gut instinct. And I live by that pretty much with everything. And it's
Yeah,
usually
that's
served
good.
me pretty well. So, maybe it didn't
I
serve
could
me
see
quite as
that.
well, in the river. I probably pushed it a bit at times, but I had a few close calls other than the crocodile experience. But it sort of,
Well, the Zambezi shark breeding area. That was
that
kind
as
of
well. Yeah.
a
But it's
the Zambezi. So now I'm actually going to go look up the word Zambezi. It probably means like, stay the hell away from here.
No, it's
Translate. So, hey, while you're talking about that, you'd mentioned that you had some good friends down there that were, through the river and all that. You went to some wedding.
pretty much the guy that owned the backpackers, the hostel that I worked for, he was he used to be the mayor there, so he knew the chief, the Zulus, Chief Goodwill. He was pretty much the king of Zulus down there. So I used to take backpackers down, visit the Zulus on day trip, and through that I actually got to go to his daughter's wedding, which was an experience in itself. So here I was, I found myself in South Africa at the Zulu chief's daughter's wedding. And there was only, I think, six white people there, so I was one of six white people. I'd
Yeah,
experience
well,
it, and that,
how many people go to a Zulu chief's daughter's wedding? I mean, is how many, when you see six white dudes, how many non-white people were there?
oh, there was thousands, there was busloads, and it goes for like a week or so. Like, it's an amazing experience, and
There was thousands.
thousands, like everyone, like it's a Zulu nation, so you've got all the Zulus from around the world, from around the country going there for the wedding. So yeah, it's a huge big festival.
Well, Fing, I really want to finish with your crocodile yell. How do you yell at a crocodile?
Oh, I think
Ready?
pretty much all I
One,
did was put my head down and
two.
went, "Rah!" And that was pretty much it. Hey.
Man. Thanks, bro. I'll
Worries,
talk to you
buddy.
later.
Thanks doing talk. I enjoyed it.